Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1 and find verse number 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8. And then please would you stand with me out of respect to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8. Philippians 1, 8. If you look back at me for just a moment, let me tell you the title of my sermon. I announced it this morning. It's called Be Sincere, Not Wax. W-A-X. You'll understand why in just a moment. Philippians 1, 8. It says, For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And let's pray. Jesus, help us tonight to learn something from the Bible. We don't just need spiritual education, we need to then live it. So God, as we learn something tonight, might it be applied to our lives. And let us leave this property tonight being changed, being more like you, less like ourselves, being more like the Holy Spirit, and getting rid of some of our attitudes and developing His. Tonight, Father, help us to be sincere, but may we not have a bunch of wax in our Christianity, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. There in Philippians 1:10 it said that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense. Right before I start into the base of my sermon, I'll tell you a real quick story. I like eagles, and my office has a bunch of eagles in it, and I've just always liked the bird eagle. I had an eagle that it was made of wax, and somebody had made it for me and painted it up, and it was very attractive, very dignified looking. And I'd put it in a tub with a bunch of things. It had actually, when I was running Bible college, I had two offices, and I had one at my office at the college and then another office at the church. And I'd had this wax eagle at the college, and when I took all my college notes and things and I put them in some tubs, I took that wax eagle and I put it in one of those tubs. And then I put it in the attic of my house. Let me get there. I put it in the attic of my house. Well, I want you all to know that I don't know what it's like at your house, but at my house, when it's 95 degrees outside in my attic, it's about 300. It's pretty rough. Well, Mrs. Owens had wanted me to get up in the attic to get something of hers, and I got up there and I was rummaging around. I wasn't real happy because I don't like going up there when it's 300 degrees. But I got up there and I thought, yeah, I'm gonna get my eagle. I'm gonna take it out to the church and I'm gonna put my eagle in my office at the church. And so I opened up the tub and I looked in there. My eagle had turned into a puddle. It had melted. And it was a mess. It was just a mess. And I gotta tell you, I was pretty disappointed. So my eagle was gone. Now, stay with me for a few minutes. Of course, you know that heat and the wax, and it just didn't hold up under pressure. You don't need me to say this. You already know it. But your pastor is far from perfect. And I can't boast of possessing any truly great qualities of any sort. But there is one thing that I do strive to do on behalf of God and behalf even of you, because I'm your pastor and I help lead this church. I do try to be sincere. Philippians 1:10, it tells us that ye may be sincere till the day of Christ. Now, I want to tell you something about the word sincere, if I may. I want to define it for you so you understand. The word sincere is a very interesting word. It comes from two words, sin, S-I-N-E, and cera, C-E-R-A. It's two words joined together to make one word. Their definitions, The word sin, S-I-N-E, or sign, means without. The second word, cera, C-E-R-A, means wax. The word sincere comes from two words, and those two words put together mean without wax. Now, you say, well, why is that, Pastor? I'll explain. Back in Rome, they would build and sculpt, and they'd make big buildings and make sculptures of people, and they made them of marble. And when they would go to working on their buildings, when they would go to working on a sculpture or something, there would be mistakes, there would be flaws in the marble. And I most of you have never worked with marble, but if you go to chip away at a piece of marble and you chip off something that didn't need to be chipped off, you're in a fix now. There's not a whole lot that you can do about it. Now it's gone. So what they would do if they, let's say that they were building a building and they got a piece of marble and it had a flaw in it and there was a crack, and they say, well, that crack looks bad on this wall. What they would do is they would take wax and they would put wax in the hole and they would cover it. They would cover the flaw with that wax, giving it momentarily a fake appearance. Now, you have to understand, once they get their building done and the sun comes out and that sun bears down on that building where that crack was, you could temporarily fill the crack with the wax, but sooner or later that wax would melt away and the real quality, if you will, or that crack would then show. The same thing would be true. You take I'll call it a statue or a figurine, someone that would consider themselves a sculptor, that they were chipping away at marble. If they made a flaw and maybe cut a part of an ear off of somebody that they were sculpting, what do you do about it? It's marble. So what they would do then is they would take some wax and they would form it, and it would look good until the pressure was on or the heat came, and then somebody's ear would melt away. And so it would be gone. Now, so that's where we get, and that's where the word sincere comes from. It means without wax. A lot of things are made of plastic today. Young people, if you went down to Walmart and you wanted to get some fake fruit to put in a bowl on your kitchen table, it would be plastic. They used to make it out of wax. They had what they called wax fruit. I was at a hotel one day, and it is an upper scale hotel, a very, very nice swank hotel. And I watched this little kid take off. He shot up a hallway and got away from his mom and dad. And there was a bowl on a table, and it looked like real fruit. Now, I didn't know it, and nobody else did, but this little kid, boy, he was being as ornery as he could, and I watched him run down that hallway, and he seen that fruit, and he had to reach up, and he got him an apple, and he took off running again, and he was running from his mom, and I watched him. He took that thing, and he, and in a minute, he's going, and it didn't taste real good. It was wax fruit. Now, wax fruit doesn't feed anybody. Really serves no productive purpose. Looks pretty, but it's a replica, or it's something fake as a representation of something real. Up in Canada, my wife, I took my wife and family up into Canada, and Ripley's, believe it or not, they have a wax museum there. And some of you have been places where they have figures of people that they've carved out of wax. They're wax people. They're the image of something. But they're actually insincere figures. They're totally wax. They're fake. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want to be a part of a wax Christianity. I don't want to be a part of a wax church. I don't want to pastor a fake church full of fake people that have fake purposes, folks, we ought not want to be. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the lack of sincerity in what we do. Our programs here, everybody here that is a part of a program, the programs that we have, the kids' programs, the teen programs, all of it, we don't want wax programs. We don't want wax music program. We don't want wax musicians, wax spirituality. I don't want a pastor or a wax congregation. We should not have wax love and wax standards and wax separation and wax givers and wax in our loyalties and attitudes. Hey, can I ask you something? Do you give people the impression that we are a church full of wax things? In the Bible, I looked at the word sincerity or sincere. And I found it every time it was used in the Bible. And I want to point out real simply, it won't take a long time, and that is a sincere statement. It won't take a long time, but I did look in the Bible and I found the places where God talks to us about sincerity. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be wax in this area, because those things that are wax, they really don't serve a whole lot of purpose. And when the heat's on, they're going to melt down and they're going to be worthless and the reality is going to be revealed. So I'm going to show you real quickly some areas where God would recommend to us we not be wax. Let's be sincere. I'm going to promise you something, folks. This world is starved for churches that are the real McCoy. Starved for it. Starved for the old time religion in reality, where it's not a game, it's not a front. Folks, listen, I don't make no bones about what we are around here. This isn't wax. I'm not playing a religious game, and I don't think we are. Let's not be wax. Let me show you. For instance, let me warn you, we are not to be wax in regard to this thing called salvation. Amen. Salvation. Listen real carefully. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 24, it says, "Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." See, we are saved by grace. Here, he is called our Lord, which means this is in reference to saved people. Our salvation causes us to love him. But let me read another verse to you. Philippians 1:10, "that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now, folks, we are to be sincere until the day of Christ, or we're to be without wax. Now, there is coming a day when Jesus is going to come again. And if your salvation is wax that day, the facade will be melted away and you'll die and go to hell. You are not to be wax in salvation. And it's talking about the grace of God that saved us. And God said, "You that sincerity, if you were real in your salvation, when Jesus comes again, you're covered. If you die, you are covered." But folks, I'm going to make you one great big old fat promise. If you are not sincere about the thing that is that thing of your salvation, hell will burn your wax up just like that. The Catholics in confirmation, that wax of confirmation is going to be burned up immediately when they die. They think that's going to cover them. I'm sorry, it will not. This is a Baptist church. We believe in getting baptized. But you've heard me say this over and over again. That baptistry does not save you. It has never saved anybody. It never will save anybody. You're to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that's the only thing that will get you to heaven. And if somebody is depending on the wax of baptism to get them to heaven, they're going to be sorely wrong. That's going to melt down. That's going to cost them their eternity. There are those that believe if you join a church, that church membership secures a place in heaven. I'm sorry. That's a heresy. That's a lie. That's not true. It's wax. I have a problem with preachers that sell their congregations on wax. If pastor doesn't stand up and tell them the truth about salvation, he's a liar.
Yes, sir.
He's sending his people to hell. I don't have any choice. I got to tell you about the real salvation. You've got to know that. I can't tell you that you can take confirmation and you'll be fine. No, that's wax. And I can't tell you get baptized and that'll get you to heaven. That's wax. And I can't tell you join the church and that will get you to heaven. That's wax. I think you ought to join the church. I think the Bible teaches you're supposed to get saved. You're to get baptized by immersion. Then you are to join the local New Testament church. That's how God said to do it. But the latter two have nothing to do with you getting born again. And if somebody places those things in front of the people, or if somebody's believing those latter two to get them to heaven, it's wax. It's wax. That's not the real deal. Listen to this. In Matthew 7:23, these words are used. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are some people that said, Lord, Lord. They talked religious, but now they're facing God. And God said, you're going to go to hell because you never got saved. They talk religious. They look religious. Maybe they're members of the church. Maybe they got baptized. Maybe they gave some money. But it was all wax. It was all wax. God said, I never knew you. Hey, and it didn't say, I knew you and lost you. Because God's never lost one. You do not lose your salvation. God doesn't lose people. They get saved. Now they get backslidden and they lose God's blessing in their life. But God doesn't lose people. He said, I never knew you. Good works will wax you over. If that's what you're depending on to get you to heaven, good works will wax you over and make you look good. But your wax will be melted down when you face Jesus, and you'll die and go to hell if you're depending on your good works. Hey, and I'm for good works. But I'm not for good works to get one to heaven. I think we ought to do good works. I think we ought to do good deeds. But you have to get born again, and then you do good deeds because you do it in a service to God. Hey, believing there is a God. I'm glad you believe there is a God. The devil believes there is a God. But saying that there's a God will not get you to heaven. You know, you ask people, say, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Oh, I believe in God. I didn't ask you if you believe in God. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because that's what gets you to heaven. You know, there are people who have waxed over this thing of salvation with, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a God. I'm a member of the church. I got baptized. I gave some money to the church. All those things are great. But when it comes to salvation, all wax. It's all wax. It's not the real deal. Folks, I know people everywhere. And I meet people. And I'll ask them, I'll say, are you saved? And they'll say, oh yeah, God saved me. And this is what happened. Somewhere along the way, they almost physically died. And God salvaged their life, and they think that that salvaging of their life so they could continue to walk on this earth was salvation. That is not salvation. Now, God bailed you out so you could get spiritually born again. He kept your body alive. He saved your physical life, but we're not talking about your physical life. We're talking about ye must be born again. You got to get spiritually born again. There are people that really do believe. I was in a car accident. I almost died. And everybody said I was going to die. And God spared my life. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm very sorry. That's wax. That's wax. Say, I tithe. I think you should. Matter of fact, I think you should double tithe. And if you're working your way to heaven, and I can't convince you of salvation by grace through faith, I'd give it all. Don't just give 10%. Give 100%. You better seal the deal. We'll get that building we're building one way or another. But your giving your money will not get you to heaven. That is wax. Now, you're supposed to give. But it's wax when it comes to salvation. It's just, that's a covering. We've got to have the real deal. We've got to, and that's why the Bible talks about that grace in Ephesians 6:24, and he uses the word sincerity. And then in Philippians 1:10, he uses the word sincere, and it has to do with salvation. Said that sincerity will cover you until the coming of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we should not allow wax to get involved in this thing called salvation. Secondly, preachers and teachers, we're not to be wax in our preaching and in our teaching. We're not to be wax. In Philippians 1:16, I'll just give you the first part of the verse. It says, "The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely." The word sincerity is used and it's attached to preaching. It's used attached to teaching. Now, may I say, the sermons that are preached and the lessons that are taught from this pulpit, they might not be the funniest sermons you've ever heard, but they're sincere. They might not be the most interesting. I might not be the most interesting preacher that you've ever heard. I'm sure I'm not. But I will tell you this, they're sincere. I'm not the most motivating preacher in the world, and maybe I don't give you the most deeply theological presented truths from the Bible, but they're sincere. I don't construct my sermons maybe the way they ought to be, and they're maybe not most memorable, or I'm dead sure that they're not real intellectual, but I will tell you this, they're sincere. That's the best I can do. You say, "What are you doing, Pastor?" I preach every sermon to help you. Every sermon's purpose is to help you. There's not one sermon here that is being preached so I could show off what I know from the Bible to you. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's real obvious to us." I know. I'm not afraid to admit that. I know the reality of it. I'm not trying to impress you with my preaching. I'm trying to help you. I want to help you. When we preach sermons, I want to help the lost. Maybe one of the reasons why I'm not real complicated as a preacher is so often we have people walk into this church and they don't know anything about the Lord. They don't know anything about salvation. I'm going to make it simple. Why? Is this a real deal? There really is a heaven and there really is a hell and they need to get born again. And I don't want to complicate all that in their thinking. I want to make it so we're going to put the jelly on the bottom shelf where any old lost sinner can walk in here and realize I need to get saved and it sounds good and it sounds easy. Give me a dose of that. Hey, young Christians, you all do realize because we are a soul-winning church, every time turn around, we got a brand new Christian sitting in these pews. We need to grow them. And there is a sincerity that is necessary in the teaching and preaching to help those young Christians grow. I realize this. I look out and there are people in this auditorium, you know more about the Bible than me. And I realize that. I just know this. God called me to pastor the church, so I'm going to teach you what I can. But I'm trying to even grow some of you mature Christians. I want to grow you. I want to give you some things that will help you. And again, I go back to what I said in the beginning. There are a lot of things that a lot of people, a lot of preachers could do for you that maybe I could not. But I'll promise you, when I stand behind this desk and teach and preach, I'm sincere in what I'm doing. Hey, that's important. Could I say to every Sunday school teacher in here, are you doing the same? Are you the real deal? Are you Sunday school teacher? Would your students testify and say, not much to look at, but they're sincere. They believe what they're teaching us to believe. Hey, everybody that leads a ministry around here, you stand up and you teach and you preach. Are you wax? Who are you trying to impress? Trying to smooth somebody? You're trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Christianity is starved for some real Christians. Some people that just don't say it and then not live it. They're looking for somebody that says it and then they live it.
And they mean it. It's not all surface. Look, if you're one thing at church and you're something else at home, you got a lot of wax going on. Knock off the wax. Get real. He talked about the sincerity of one that's teaching or preaching. Hey, be real. Be sincere. Don't be wax. There's a statement that I learned as a young man. I've tried to utilize, believe, claim, and practice it. And it is this. I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. I really believe that. I really want this church to build you. And we all need to get down to the nitty-gritty of sincerity. And preachers and teachers in our church, listen, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Every children's church preacher or teacher, every Sunday school teacher, every ministry leader, be real. Be sincere. Don't have what you do filled with wax. That's going to melt away. Let me tell you something. You may fool me, and I may fool you, but nobody is fooling God. Nobody. I'll tell you this. I may preach something that you don't like, but I want to assure you something in my heart. What I'm preaching, I'm sincerely trying to help people with it. I'm sincerely trying to help people. I'm so glad. I was talking with somebody, old Brother Nofsinger and I were talking earlier today, and we were talking about our church and the future of the church and the future of fundamentalism. I said, I'm so glad that we have I'm glad we got a lot of young preachers around here. Thank God, our church, we're rearing some preacher boys. Now let me tell you preacher boys something. I want you to learn how to preach. I want you to learn how to structure a sermon. I want you to learn how to put a title to it and tell an illustration. And I want you to learn how to have a conclusion and some points and a proposition and an introduction. I want you to learn all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. You better be real. We don't need fake, phony, or wax preachers. They're everywhere. This is not an occupation. I didn't get my job through the Employment Bureau. I got it through God. And what I do, it is not an occupation. It is a calling from Almighty God. And there is a big difference. And I say to every one of you that preach, don't be full of wax. Be real. Be sincere. I don't mean this offensively, but with me, what you see is what you get. Now, I don't say that in a snotty, arrogant way. I want God to change me and make me better. I know some people say, well, what you see is what you get. I'm loudmouth and I talk bad about people, but I just speak my mind. That's called sin. And when you talk like that, you're just a sinner. You're not to be going around talking bad about people and things like that. But when I say what you see is what you get, I really do believe what we're doing around here. It's real to me. Now, there's some people that may be playing religion. Not a game to me. It's real. So, God said we're not to be wax in our preaching and in our teaching. God said you better not be wax in your salvation. That's going to cost you for all eternity. Sincerity. What is it? Sine sire. What is that? Without wax. There's another area where I want to challenge you about this thing of not being full of wax, or watch out, be sincere. And that is in your love. In your love. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8, it says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, the word sincerity and sincere is not used a lot in the Bible. And I picked some because I wanted you to see God's concerned about this thing of sincerity. Hey, and let me tell you something else. Do you know that when somebody does something, let's say it's wrong or they shouldn't have done it, if they did it But they have a sincere heart, and they weren't trying to hurt something, and they weren't trying to destroy something, and they were not malicious in it. I can handle that far further than somebody that was being rebellious and they were trying to do something wrong. For sincerity, it means something to us. But here God said, I want you to watch your love. I'd like to help some marriages tonight. Does your wife know you love her? Or maybe I ought to put it this way. How much wax is in your love? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You got your hands full, buddy. That's big love. That's love without wax. Love to me is a verb, not just a noun. People throw the word love around all the time. You could say you love, but you are going to have to do something to prove it. For God so loved the world that He did something. He doesn't go around boasting of it. He proves it by His actions. Let's be sincere in our love. There's a little song. I won't try to sing it. Anytime I try to sing anymore, I just butch it all up. My old nasty preaching voice just won't carry a tune in a bucket. And some of you'd say, "Well, I heard you before you preach that much, and you couldn't sing then either." But it's a good cover up here. But I love the song, and I sing it often when I'm alone. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, there's something that I would like to be true. I really hope it is. When I tell God that I love Him, here's all I would like. I would like Him to look back and say, I believe that, Jeff. I believe that. My pastor and mentor was dying. He had had a 4 or 5 way bypass heart surgery. These are the last words I said to him. I said, "Preacher, I love you." And I can't tell you what he said to me, what it meant to me. He looked back at me and he said, "Jeff, I know you do." And I want to say, God, I love you. And I hope he can look and say, "Jeff, I believe that. I believe that." But I got to tell you, folks, in the Christianity that I'm experiencing today, I see a lot of wax in the love. It's just a word. It's used a lot. But there's more to it than just a word. Mrs. Owens is not feeling well this evening, and she's unable to be here. But when I look into my wife's eyes and I say to her, I say, "Sir," that's supposed to be funny, folks. And I look into my wife's eyes and I say, "Sherry, I love you. I want that to be real. I don't want it to be surface. It's lasting. It's deep." My children, Sabrina, I love you. I hope you know that. I've got other of my kids here. JV, I love you. Charlotta, I love you. I love my kids. And I really hope when their daddy says, "I love you," it's more than just words. That it's more than just surface. I hope that somehow in their hearts they say, "My dad loves me." I hope my wife can say, "Those are not just words. Those are real." I hope that my God, when I tell Him that I love Him, that it's not wax. I hope it's not surface. I hope it's not a religious game. I hope God looks down and says, "Jeff Owens, I know that you love me." And I'm going to tell you something about that. God's a pretty big lover, and He loves everybody no matter what they do to Him. I think God really deserves that somebody love Him back. I really believe that. Those of you that are part of this church, I know some of you don't know me well, but I want you to know something. I love you. I love the members of my church. I love the leadership in our church. You know something? I love you whether you're right or wrong. I love you. And maybe you wonder if that could be possibly true. But I hope there's at least one person in this crowd that would say, "Preacher, I believe that you love me. I believe that. I love this book. It's not surface to me. Brother Young, I think I would die for it." I love prayer. I love prayer. I love church. I got to ask you a question, though, folks. Can people tell your love is sincere? Hey, are there people in our community that think we're whacks around here? Do they think we're like all the other fake churches? There are a lot of people playing religion out there, right? Happening everywhere. Folks, you ought to sincerely, without wax, love your husband, love your wife, love your children. Hey, young people, look up here at me for a second. Teenagers, look at me for a second. Your mom and dad, they need to know that you love them. They need that. There's nothing like a mom and dad hearing their child say to them, and meaning it, "Mama, I love you. Dad, I love you." Not just because the preacher preached on it, but you being able to say, "I love you," and meaning it. It's a precious thing. Hollywood has virtually destroyed the word love. Love is not lust. Not at all. Lust and adultery and all the romance novels, and they throw the word love around. Look, God said we ought to be sincere in our love. I believe this world is starved for real love. And real preaching and teaching that's sincere from the Bible. And they've got to have that real salvation. Just one more thing and I'll be done. I believe that from what I can tell, in Joshua 24 verse 14, God warns us about being real or not wax, or being sincere in our service to God. In Joshua chapter 24 verse number 14, it says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity." Huh. Serve Him in sincerity. Serve Him without wax. The real deal. He said there, it said, fear the Lord. So God also is connecting fearing God with the sincerity. Well, let me throw this out there. You ought to fear the Lord without wax. In other words, don't say that you fear Him and then live contrary to His word. Because if you really feared Him, then you would do what His word says. If you say, "Oh, I fear God," then you live contrary to the Bible, you're filling the cracks with wax. You're not being real. You're not living. It's not your life's not the real deal. So if we're to serve God in sincerity, we're to get the wax out of it, we need to stop putting on the religious look, if you will. Get real. Again, let me tell you what happens in many, many churches. Many churches won't tell people to live right much anymore anyway. But then if you find some that will preach against sin and live right and live holy, folks will try to do that at church. Then they go to work and live totally different. Or they go to school and they're not living righteously. Or they go home. They go into the community. And they're not living righteously. There's something that I do. Many, many of you have been through. We have a worker interview here at our church. And if there are certain positions that you fill, you have to agree to live a certain way. And that won't be changing anytime soon. And by the way, some of you promise you're going to live a certain way. You're to keep that obligation. But in it, there's something I say, and everybody that's ever been through the interview would hear it. I would say to you, all these guidelines on how the Bible would have you to live, you're not only supposed to live them at the church, You're to live them away from the church also. And I say that in that interview, and many of you have heard that, but I got to tell you something. Yeah, I don't think we understand how many people in what we would call religious circles think that while you're down at the church, you ought to live right, but the rest of the time, you're okay, go do what you want. I'm very sorry, that's not true. You see, if you want to get the religion out, you want to get the wax out, get real. Live for God at home. Live for God at work. Live for God when you're away from the church property. Stop trying to impress everybody by your service to God. He's saying, do what? Serve God. Do it for God. Drop the front. Come out of hiding. There are people in here, you say, I agree with separation, but you're not separated. So just verbally agreeing, that's not what God's looking for. Hey, listen, ask yourself this question. Is your place in the choir a place of wax? You say, well, how could that be? We're standing up here singing songs that teach all sorts of things, doctrines and purities. And are you singing songs about things that you won't even live? I would guess there was a touch of hypocrisy in that, right? I mean, everybody's watching you sing that. I guess they would expect you mean it. Or are you singing things that you don't mean? Hey, those of you that say that you sing solos and duets and trios and you're in quartets and ensembles and the choir, could I recommend something to you? Why don't you live what you're singing? And again, you can go to churches everywhere where if somebody's got a good voice and they've got some music ability, they'll put them up and let them sing on the platform because they're more interested in the music than the reality of the Christianity. Here we don't do that. Probably didn't tell you. You're supposed to believe truly in your heart, be doing everything you can to live what you sang. That takes a church from being like the mess in the world, takes it up a notch. Because everybody's looking for the real deal. Hey, bus captain, bus workers, bus drivers, is there wax in what you do? Ushers? Do you just like being up in front of everybody? Does that give you a position where someone respects you religiously? Well, I've got news for you. You're not to do it for that reason. Hey, soul winner, greeter, nursery worker, Sunday school teacher, assistant Sunday school teacher. We're not to have wax in our service. There's something that is hard for everybody to understand. This church is made up of, this is a local New Testament church, exactly what the Bible says it is. This is a local New Testament church. It is made up of all of its members. I wonder how much wax fills the cracks of what our church is. Are you solid, strong, true marble? Or are you the crack that's filled with the phony wax that is used to fill the gaps where there is not strength, the flaws? Do you just go through the motions? Why do you do what you do? Hey, let's remove the wax. The next time we sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Maybe you ought to mean it. Teenagers, the next time you're in Youth Ablaze and you sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, how about you remove the wax and you mean what you just sang? What impression are you giving people about your spiritual condition? Let's not let it be something we're trying to impress them with. Let's let it be what we are. Get real. Get real. I think the Lord and the world is tired of counterfeits, imposters, make-believes, deceptions, those things that are bogus or forged. the fakes, masqueraders, pretenders, frauds, hypocrites. God would probably say those are wax Christians. I think the world needs sincerity. Christians without wax. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The sermon tonight is called Be Sincere, Not Wax. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, get born again. You need to get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? All right? And if you need to be saved, you come during the altar call and we'll help you to get born again. You got any wax going on in your life? If you do, I wish you'd let the sermon help you. Let's become sincere, solid, true Christians. Who here would say, Pastor, God has challenged me. I have been challenged in the teaching about sincerity and the need to take the wax out of Christianity. Would you let God see your hand and say, oh yeah, man, God has spoken to my heart tonight. God bless you. And God's spoken to my heart tonight too. You may put your hands down. You just come to church to get here, get it over with, get on so you can get back about your life, because that's the main interest, is what you want and what you're going to be and what you get out of it. Boy, I want you to come to church anyway, even if you're coming and you're full of wax. But I tell you, you ought to let God melt some of that away. I'll never forget that my eagle was melted. I think you're going to see some what you think are eagles in Christianity. The heat's going to be on someday. And the old wax is going to melt. And you're going to find out that wasn't the real deal. And don't blame God. It was the masquerader that brought it on themselves. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to come. Sarah, if you'll play, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Hey, leaders. Sincerity without wax. Husbands, wives, without wax. Without wax. Teenagers, there's some of you, your parents would just love to hear that you love them and you mean it. Without wax, Christian. Without wax, bus captain, bus worker. Without wax, music participant. Hey, without wax, soul winner. Now we get caught up in soul winning, and we should, and we're trying to get as many people saved as we can, and we should. But let me tell you something, it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus and getting people saved. And you throw yourself into it so that you can get credit, or maybe you can get attention, but that's not what it's all about. Without wax. Sine sere, sincerity, without wax. The Roman builder would conceal the flaw in the marble by filling it with wax, but sooner or later, the flaw was revealed. Oh, wax fruit looks good. Doesn't feed anybody. Really not productive. It's just a mimic. Without wax. My eagle was melted down to nothing. It's just a blob of wax. And thank you, Sarah. If you look up here, I really, really do believe that one of the keys to a church like ours being successful, especially in this day and age, let's just be real. Let's just be real. Let's not play the religious game. Let's be what God's called us to be at church and at home. I think there is a tremendous attraction to that. I think that everybody that's trying to put on the dog to impress everybody out there, I think they want to walk into a church where they say, you know what, that's what church is right there. That's a real deal. That's what I've been looking for. And I think there are so many out there that are doing so many things trying to figure out the new style of this, that, and the other. Folks, they're going that direction. All they need to do is go back to the real deal. Just get back to their roots. That'll get the job done. Thank God, God's real. And we're to be like God, which means we're to be real.